Sorry for my odd little noises. I thought I could plug that in and no one would know that it went ding dong. Anyway, sorry, Nathan. Well, we are starting a series in the book of Colossians. Things to come have finished. And we're going to study this book. And trust we're going to find a lot of interesting and encouraging things from it. Now, usually the first and best place to start when looking at an epistle is the background, so we have a general idea of the place and the book and so on. And so we're going to talk about the book rather than learn from the book today. And some people find this sort of stuff really exciting, while others find it as exciting as eating wholemeal bread, right? And so, I don't know what category you fit into. You might find eating wholemeal bread exciting, and so you're going to be happy regardless. And so we're going to pray, and then we'll have a look at this book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this epistle that you inspired the Apostle Paul to write to this church at Colossae. Thank you that we've been able to have it preserved, translated into our language, that, Lord, we can learn as well as a local church. This was written to a local church, as we are a local church. The problems that they have, we often have as well. The things that they needed to be aware of, we need to be aware of. Man's heart hasn't changed over all these years, yet we know that you haven't changed. And Lord, we know that your desires for your people are the same as well. And so Lord, please bless us and speak to us as we consider this topic today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Colossae. And the church there at Colossae. Let's start with the city of Colossae. And it didn't look as blurry on my computer. If it's a little bit blurry, I apologize. But just to get your bearings, we have Damascus. So Jerusalem is down here somewhere. We have a picture of Paul's first missionary journey. And then we have Colossae is over there in that part of the world. And Colossae was in the region of Phrygia, which we have there, which was the region of Phrygia was in the eastern portion of the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is that part there. And so it takes up that whole realm of the area. And although we know of Colossae because it's one of the epistles and we think, well, it must be a very important place, the reality is Colossae wasn't a very important place at all. A lot of the epistles that Paul wrote to were churches that were in strategic places in their region. Like we can understand when he wrote to the Romans, all right, at Rome. That's pretty important. When he wrote to Ephesus and the church, the Ephesians, that was a very important part in the area as well. As we'll see, it's over there further to the left. When it comes to Corinth and Philippi, these were important places and main cities in their region, but Colossae doesn't share the same fame. Colossae was situated in a valley with two other cities, and both of the cities outshined Colossae. We go to another map, a little bit closer in. We have here, I suspect that green part is the valley, and we have, about 30 kilometres away from Colossae, Hierapolis. And it was famous for mineral springs. And it was famous for health resorts. And so they had them way back then as well. And so people that were wanting to feel a little bit healthier and so on, they headed off to Hierapolis where they had those mineral springs and they would try and get themselves healthy. And so there were lots of visitors going to Hierapolis, a very key city in that area. Now, even closer, about 18 kilometres away, is Laodicea. And Laodicea, we've all heard about that because of it was one of the churches there that John wrote to in the book of Revelation. But it was the main city of the region of Phrygia. So it was the key city in that region. There were five major roads that all met at Laodicea. All roads didn't lead to Laodicea. All roads led to Rome. But at least they all came together at Laodicea. And we know from the letter that was written, or the things that were said about Laodicea, and that it was a very rich city of commerce, a city of banking. It was a city where people went to make money. It was the most important city in that region. And so Colossae was the lesser of the three in that area. Although we do know that they were close, not just in when it came to the area, but it says that you could visit all three in one day, depending on how good you walked, I guess. All right, I don't know if I'd make it, but you could visit them all in one day. So it wasn't that far apart. But the closeness of the cities is why we read this. I want you to turn to Colossians 4, and this might help you to make sense when you read through this. Why are these things mentioned? Have a look at chapter 4, verse 13, where it's referring to a person where he says, For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, that's those at Colossae, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. And so, it's talking about a particular person, which we'll talk about later, and he had a great zeal, not just for those at Colossae, but for those at Hierapolis and Laodicea. There was a church in each one of these cities, and they were very close. If you look down at verse 16, it says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And so once that church at Colossae got theirs epistle and they read what we're going to go through, well, Paul's instruction was take it down to the church at Laodicea and read it to them and let them hear this as well. And it appears, maybe at the same time, maybe at an earlier stage, but Paul had written an epistle to Laodicea as well. And he says, and when you give them yours, you get theirs and bring it back and you read it in the church. And so when it came to the city, it was the least of the three in that area, but there were three cities very close together. That's the first thing. Second thing, the writer. Who is the writer of the epistle? Well, that's really easy, right? We don't have to spend any time on that. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. And so he tells us who is writing. At the very end, chapter 4, verse 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. And so, if you haven't got it, Paul, the apostle, was the one who got inspired to write this epistle. So moving on, when did Paul write the epistle? Well, it's generally accepted that the book of Colossians is one of the epistles that Paul wrote while he was in prison in Rome. If you have a look at the distance, we have Rome and we have Colossae, quite a fair distance away. Have a look in chapter 4, verse 2, would you? Chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds," or chains. And so he's referring to himself, "I'm in chains for preaching the gospel." In verse 18, he says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds," or my chains. "Grace be unto you." And so, Paul was in prison, which sets in Rome. That was he was in prison a fair few places, but they say it was in Rome, and that sets it at around about AD 60. And that's probably not a really enjoyable time to be a Christian in prison in Rome, because that means that the lovely Nero was Caesar in Rome at that time. And so as he sat there in prison, knowing the crazy man who was Caesar at that time, he understood that his life could be taken at any time. Yet he still faithfully preached the word of God. Now, because Paul was in prison, he obviously didn't have the benefit of just popping down to Colossae to hand deliver it, as we can imagine. And so we discover that he sent one of his trusted men to hand deliver this letter all the way from Rome to Colossae. And his name was Tychicus. I'll put him up there, Tychicus, because sometimes when a preacher is mentioning names, they say a name and you think, "Oh, which one's that again?" You know, you get a little confused. So I've got him up there, Tychicus. Let's have a look at chapter 4 again, verse 7 and 8. He says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." And so, it is believed that he sent Tychicus to the church at Colossae with this epistle. But we learn from the epistle to the Ephesians that he didn't just take the epistle of Colossians, but it seems as though on his journey he took the epistle to the Ephesians as well. In Ephesians chapter 6, let me read this, it sounds very familiar, verse 21. This is what he says to the church at Ephesus. "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts." And so both these epistles were written in Rome, and it seems as though they were both sent at the same time. And so on the way, Tychicus had some very good reading material. I don't know if he was allowed to read it or he was allowed to open it up or not, but anyway, he had some good reading material. But it does make sense when you see that if he lands at Ephesus, delivers, and then he makes his way over to Colossae as well. And so it's believed that Tychicus was the one that hand-delivered. But we do discover that Tychicus wasn't alone on his trip. He had a companion. If you have a look at Colossians 4, 8 and 9, it says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Verse 9, "with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you." And so he has come from Colossae. "They shall make known unto you all things which are done here." And so we have another chap going with him, Onesimus, both in Rome at the time of writing this epistle. Now, some of you know why this happened, but it would be remiss of me not to explain it, because there's children that need to grow up and know this as well. Or if you're an adult and you don't know, you've probably forgotten it. But Onesimus wasn't going on that journey just to hold Tychicus's hand or to show him the way. Okay, I come from Colossae, so I'll show you the way. It's over this way. Or he wasn't there to back up what Tychicus is about to say. No, he was on his way home, and he was sent by Paul for a reason. And in his hand, he had another epistle. And that epistle was to a person called Philemon. So Philemon was over here, in Colossae, in the church there. And so Onesimus was taking a personal letter that Paul had written to Philemon, which we have in our Bibles, if you're wondering. You see, Paul had sent Onesimus home to Colossae and to his master, Philemon, that he may receive him. And if you're not aware of the story, Philemon was saved under the ministry of Paul. And so they had a close relationship. And Philemon was a rich man. It appears that the church met in his house. And Philemon had a servant by the name of Onesimus, who wasn't a believer. And it appears, we can see from the letter to Philemon, that Onesimus had done him ill, probably stole from him and various things, and he fled from his master, Philemon, there at Colossae. And I suspect he wanted to get as far away as he possibly could from his master. And so he went to Rome to get lost. All right? Yet he didn't get lost. He got saved instead. Because somehow he came across Paul in chains, he heard the gospel, he got saved, and he became a wonderful blessing to the Apostle Paul, and he was ministering the word of God there in Rome. Now the thought would be, well, he's run away from his master, who I actually know, but let's just wipe all that away, and he's doing a good job here. Let's pretend it never happened. Now, Paul knew it was important to restore things. That is true repentance. When you get saved, or when you get things right, you make things right with those that you have offended and hurt. And so Paul knew it was important for him, Onesimus, to go back to his master and get things right. And so if you were to read in Philemon, it says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus," he says, "whom I have begotten in my bonds." And so this is what Paul writes to Philemon, this rich man who had a servant who had run away. And so it seems as though Paul thought it would be good to send Tychicus and Onesimus together, and they went to Ephesus, and then they went on to Colossae. Paul said, "You go home." He said that to Onesimus, "You go home and make things right with your master. But I'll tell you what, I'll write a letter speaking on your behalf." Because in Roman times, if a servant ran away from their master and the master caught up with him, he had every right to have him executed. And so Onesimus had a lot of good reasons not to go home. But he was going to trust God go home, get things right with his old master, go under the authority of his old master again, if that's what he wanted, and hope he doesn't put him to death. And he has this letter. Before you kill me, here's a letter from Paul, who led you to the Lord, who you love. And if you read Philemon with that background, it makes a lot more sense as well. And so they go back. And so on they go. Now, I didn't try to be smart, but here they go. They're there in Colossae. Tychicus held the original letters of Ephesians that we get to enjoy to read, and the original letter to Colossians. Possibly there was Philippians there, and they did a detour there as well. And Onesimus had in his hand Philemon. Now, I swear if you're getting a little bit drowsy because it feels really hot up here, but I don't know about down there. All right. Is it hot down there? Can you just click the... Josh, can you just get the thing and that little circle thing and click it so it goes down to zero? Sorry if you're cold, but the rest of it... Me and Lynn are hot, so... Maybe it'll turn it off at least. Now, knowing from Colossians 4 that Onesimus came from Colossae. That's where he came from, okay? And learning from the book of Philemon that he went back to his master. So he went home to Philemon. What we can conclude from that is Philemon was a part of the church at Colossae, all right? And so we have an epistle written to the church at Colossae, but there is actually another epistle written to one of the members at Colossae, who is Philemon. And so both those epistles are very similar. And what that means is you can learn a few things about the church at Colossae from the epistle to Philemon. And so flip over to Philemon, if you can find it. This is how Paul starts off his epistle, a little letter of recommendation to Philemon, this rich man who had lost his servant. He says there in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. What we discover here is that the church seemingly met in Philemon's house. If he's rich, he's probably got the biggest house amongst all. And so they didn't have a big grand building. The church were the people inside the house. We have a big building. I wouldn't say it's a grand building. But the reality is we are the church. That's what really matters. Now, we also can know who possibly was the pastor or at least one of the elders or the main men in the church. Look at verse 2 again. It mentions Archippus, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. So there Paul mentions him, Archippus, as a fellow soldier. Now, if you've got your hand in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, Archippus is mentioned again. It says there in verse 17, and say to Archippus, this is when he's writing to the church, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And so Paul told him in the letter to Colossae to be diligent in the ministry that the Lord has given you there. And so we get the picture that he was one of the leaders, at least, in the church. He was given a responsibility of ministering and leading the church there. Now, I'll tell you how I think he fits in at the very end. But what I want to move on to now is how the church got started. Who started the church? It's really easy to know who started Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and Ephesus and other churches like that, because in the book of Acts it tells us that the Apostle Paul went, preached, some people got saved, and they were added, and then he went back and visited it. We know that Paul did this. But we're not told specifically that Paul went to Colossae. And so regardless of what anyone says, no one knows 100% sure who started the church. We do know that even if Paul was the one who started the church, he doesn't seem to be the main teacher and minister of the church. And you might go, yes, of course, because it's Archippus. No. Just to confuse you a little bit. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. There's another fellow. Maybe these were the two elders. It says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 6, which is, here he's talking about the grace of God and the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And so here, Paul refers to another man by the name of Epaphras, who was a faithful minister of Christ. Now, if you look at chapter 4, verse 12, he mentions Epaphras as well. Epaphras, who is one of you, and so he comes from Colossae, a servant of Christ, and so he was one of the ministers, saluteth you. Oh, wait a minute. So he's not there. He's with Paul. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so Epaphras was one of them. He was someone who ministered to them, but he wasn't there at the time of writing this epistle. He was at Rome with the Apostle Paul. Now, what many believe is that we read from in Acts chapter 19, verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all which were dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. They talk about how on Paul's third missionary journey, he stayed at Ephesus for 2-3 years, some space of time. He was there for quite a while. And many say, because it was the main city, lots of people went there for trade, and they believe that Epaphras went there to do trade, no doubt, heard the gospel, got saved, and then he went back and started the church at Colossae. And that's why he was the minister of the Word of God. And they give two reasons for this. Now, I disagree with this. I'll just put it out front. You know, I disagree, but probably all the commentators disagree with me, so you can work out who you want to go with, all right? But and so they have two arguments why they don't believe Paul started that. They believe he had never been to Colossae for two reasons. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, they use this as evidence. For I would that you knew what great affliction I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as had not seen my face in the flesh. And so they say, see, Paul says that those at Colossae and at Laodicea had not seen him in the flesh, and so he's never been there. Or he could be referring to those who have been saved since he had been there, who had not seen him in the flesh. See how you could take it two ways? Also, they use this verse, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says, We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. And so here we have Paul says, I am so excited. From the day that we heard of your faith, we haven't ceased to pray. And they would interpret that as saying, see, he hasn't seen them. He's only heard of the faith. Now, the only problem I have with that is we definitely know he went to Ephesus. Yet, let me read what he says to those at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. So he says the same thing to people that he did start the church with. So, these two arguments are trying to show that Paul had never been to Colossae, and so he didn't start the church. Most likely Epaphras did. But this is what I believe, all right? So you can show me why I'm wrong afterwards. All right. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Here we have, I'm going to read two verses, one from his second missionary journey and one from his third missionary journey. Chapter 16, verse 6. Now when he had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So we have a statement there that he has gone throughout the region of Phrygia, where Laodicea and Colossae and Hierapolis dwell. Turn over to chapter 18, verse 23. Now, no names are given of churches that he visited. Just gives the region. But it says in 18, verse 23, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia, in order strengthening all the disciples. And so the Apostle Paul went throughout all the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, city by city, going to the disciples. And so we're told twice Paul went throughout the region of Phrygia. Now, the capital of Phrygia was Laodicea. It would make sense to me, the way Paul did things, he goes to the capital, all right, preaches, and then he would go to surrounding cities as well. And not very far away, 18 kilometres down the road, was, I think it was Colossae and Hierapolis. And so it would make sense to me that when he was there in the capital and going throughout all the cities, he would have ended up at Colossae at some stage and preached the gospel. And the fact that these three cities had churches in it makes me think that as well. The fact that Paul wrote an epistle to Colossae and Laodicea makes me believe that as well, because he acted like the apostle writing an epistle to them. Now, he had said in another epistle that he will not build upon another person's foundation. And so if someone else had started that church, it wasn't for Paul to go on and build on it. He would allow whoever started it to do so. And so the fact that he wrote to them, gave them advice, and he went around that area would make me think that Paul had actually started the church. But we don't know for sure. But this is what I want to leave with you if you're not totally confused. How things unfolded in the mind of Alan Mitchell. All right? So you can take it or leave it. Paul went to Colossae on his second missionary journey. and was involved in the initial starting of the church. As well as Philemon being saved, Epaphras was saved as well. Okay? So that's wonderful. And as Paul usually did, Paul then established Epaphras, maybe Archippus as well, as the minister or elder there. He left elders, at least one or more, as those who regularly ministered. And that's why Epaphras is referred to as one of the ministers there. He established elders. There he continued to preach the gospel and minister the word of God. That's Epaphras. But as time went on, Epaphras had some concerns that he wanted to talk to Paul about, who was way back over in Rome, which suggests that Paul was the apostle to the church and the one who started it, because we go to the one who started it in the first place when we got problems. So Epaphras, knowing that he'd be gone for a while, appointed Archippus as the minister or leader of the church, where Colossians talks about the ministry that he has received. And so he takes over as the key man while Epaphras is gone. Then Epaphras travelled to Rome to talk with Paul. There he told Paul of the faith of those at Colossae and how people were being saved, many who had never seen, Paul had never seen. Then Epaphras told Paul of his concerns about false doctrine. So then Paul wrote an epistle to those at Colossae. And if we have a look, if we turn to chapter 1, verse 3, these are some of the ruins of the city at Colossae. And he says there in verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And so Paul writes to these believers, and we can praise the Lord that he did, because we learn some wonderful things about the Lord Jesus, particularly in this epistle. That's what we'll discover in the weeks to come. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we see that you were concerned for local churches. Not just the universal church, but individual churches, because individual churches have individual problems. And I pray that, Lord, as we go through this epistle, we may find help for ourselves as a church, as families within a church and individuals. And that, Lord, above all, our Saviour will be exalted and glorified in our midst. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.